Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Dana Theus, with my co-host, Colin Callahan, with Colin Callahan and Associates. Today's show is brought to you by Cressa, the Tenant's Advantage. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. We start with Eddie Snyder, partner and chairman, Snyder Cohn; John Quackenboss, president, L&Q International; Pete Metzger, vice chairman, CT Partners; and finally, Doug Smith, CEO, Osius Networks. Kicking us off is Eddie Snyder. Eddie, what is Snyder Cohn?
Snyder Cohn is a CPA and trusted advisory firm.
How big or small is it today?
We're 70 people.
And you're accountants, but you do more than accounting.
Yes, we help clients in a variety of ways. We are supporting their life cycle of success, so we actually work with clients all the way from their startup through growth, and we also have an affiliation with an M&A advisor to help them with their exit.
And you have a good story to tell. You have been with this firm a very long time. When did you start working with Snyder Cohn?
I started working when I was 13.
At this company?
At this company.
And you've been at this company your entire career?
I have. There was a two-year... Well, first of all, I went through high school and I went through college, but I've been working summers continuously since I was 13, so that's over 50 years. And after college, I taught for 2 years in a D.C. public school, and then was able to start my full-time career at Snyder Cohn at that time.
And what were Mom and Dad doing when you were young?
Well, my father started the firm in 1927, so we're celebrating our 86th year.
He's Snyder.
He's the Snyder. He passed away almost 30 years ago, but he certainly set good traditions for the rest of us. And my mother was helping him in making sure that my brother, my sister, and I were properly raised and fed and given the kind of love and life examples that she gave, as well as being known as the best cook in Washington, D.C.
Is she still the best cook in Washington, D.C.?
Well, she doesn't cook, but she is with us, and we still love her and enjoy her at age 98.
So whose idea was it for you to join the firm at 13 years old?
Mine.
It was your idea.
Yes, I had been bored the previous couple of summers, and I wanted to follow in my brother's example. My brother worked in the firm. Did work 60 years before he retired, and then last year, unfortunately, passed away. But when he was 13, he started in the firm and then started his full-time career at age 18. And I wanted to have a chance to work in the firm at age 13.
So how many brothers and sisters?
One brother, one sister.
Okay, and you, your older brother. What was it like not only living, but working in the shadow of your older brother almost your entire career?
Not only did I work in his shadow, I worked in his office. It was a real small office, I learned what I learned a lot from him as well as from my father in terms of how to deal with clients and associates.
And what did you learn from them that you carry forward?
I learned caring and putting your clients and as well as the associates who work with us ahead of our own interests. I learned honesty. I learned acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And tell me more about acceptance.
My father taught to me as he would drive me to elementary school down 16th Street. Right. And one day I remember the story, and I suspect I heard it more than once, of his friend Lou, who knew him when he was in a teenager, early 20s, before he started the firm, when he used to work with the government. And he said to me, "Do you think I like everything that Lou does?" "Impossible, but he's my friend, and it's okay what he does." And I learned from his model and from his words how to look at people's different perspectives that they bring to the table and to work with them and accept every person.
So how does that show up in your business today? How do you bring that forward in your business?
Well, I work with people of all sorts, and I try to help everyone. And in helping people, you can't help without communication, and you can't communicate if you can't know their perspective and where they're coming from, and to accept things that may seem a little bit off, but from where they're coming from is the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. And once we learn to accept where people are coming from, we can really help consult them.
You know, a lot of accountants love the numbers, but I hear you talking about other things you love. What's your favorite part of the business that you do today?
My favorite part is helping people with their businesses in all aspects of it.
Like what?
Well, it's last month I worked on helping a client acquire a business. He needed a very large loan to do it. I got him the loan with the bank that I had brought him to many years earlier, made a case, and the bank bought it, and it's a successful acquisition already. I'm helping another client right now consider selling her business, and I, a few months ago, helped a client look at the business in a very hard way. It was going down, and I helped advise the client a successful 40% reduction in their total wages. And as a result of that, I was able to get them a loan to continue with the business, and they've turned profitable now, and they're thriving.
So it sounds like, for you, business success isn't just about making a lot of money. It's about helping people.
Oh, it's all about that. And part of that is the tax planning and the numbers and making sure that we all look at the metrics that one needs to look at to run a successful business. But it's also helping people understand those things.
And it sounds like you also got that not only from your father, but from your mother as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. She's very much a caring person and was always giving and is always giving, even at her age now.
You told us a great story about something she discovered when your father passed away. Would you share that with us?
Sure. She asked me if I would like this book. Well, what was the book? The book was my father's 1932, what we used to call daytimer.
It was his
diary.
Schedules and appointments.
It had all his appointments. It had at the end of the book where he took money in and what he spent his money on. And I said, I'd love to. And knowing that's the year they got married and growing up with my father as the romantic in the Depression, meaning the next day after the wedding, he was at work. That's the first page I turned to. First, the wedding date on August 14th, and I saw that they were married, and he mentioned the rabbi's name, etc. But I turned to the next page, and sure enough, he didn't mention the name of the clients because of confidentiality, but he had the initials of who he saw the day after the wedding and the days after that during the Depression.
So are you as romantic as your father?
Well, I actually should ask my wife that question.
Okay, maybe we'll have her on next time. We can ask her that. You give to a lot of charities. What is it about giving to charities that's so important for business people?
It's helping people in all sorts of ways. I actually am privileged not just with charities, but with people out of work, with people starting a business that are not necessarily appropriate for our firm. They may not be in town or whatever. And I actually get paid to help people, whether the firm gets paid or not. So it's really a wonderful life that I live. And with charities, because I've been on so many charitable boards and people ask me to join them when I can, I try to convey some experiences I've had to help them if I believe in their cause.
Does it go the other way when you're supporting and, you know, working with a charity? Do you learn things that you can bring into your business?
All the time.
Like what?
Like when people don't look at their business, because we, in our firm, we do entrepreneurs, but we also look at our nonprofit clients, charities and associations, as businesses. So when successful business people on boards of charity don't look at the charity as a business, and they start showing off how much they know, I take that back to my firm and to my clients and the people who work in our firm about how it's important to always look for what the ultimate goal is.
Did you have influential mentors growing up?
Certainly. In addition to my father and my brother, I had lots of partners who I learned from and continue to learn from today, as well as I learned from anybody I can learn from, whether it's our associates in the office, our clients, people we meet in business associations, and it's always important and, to me, joyful to learn from people.
So I'm thinking that your career trajectory is very interesting. You went from being the 13-year-old summer intern to having mentors who were partners to being a partner and then, you know, being in charge of the firm, including some of these partners who had mentored you probably. What was that transition through your life and through your career like? Were there hard times when you had to manage people who had managed you?
There are certainly some hard times when you're dealing with people, whether they were mentors or not. But by and large, in looking out for where the next person's coming from, I've had a very blessed life and had a chance to work with people, whether it's different people progress at different rates, different people have different goals, and working with each of them in what's important to them is what I try to do.
You told us when you started at 13, you were sorting checks and bills and putting things in order, so it was kind of the organizational part of the job. How young were you when you realized that you liked the consulting part of it and really how things worked?
I can't say exactly, but I had exposure to that, as people in our firm do, at a fairly early age. Mm-hmm. So it certainly was fairly early on. My initial bent was mostly on making things work and balance and being understanding of all the elements that make up a tax return and an audit and everything else that I was doing. But in our firm, since we don't work with public companies, we work with privately held companies, everyone is working with the client, with their controller. Mm-hmm. And as I had the privilege of doing that and working on some clients, in fact, that my father had done and others had worked with, I learned what their business was all about and became fascinated with business.
What inspires you today? What gets you out of bed and going into the office?
In addition to the things that I've mentioned, I have a wonderful role of helping others in our firm who are younger than me, which is most everybody, to learn what I have learned in life and to help people progress in their own careers and to mentor others in serving clients better.
Great. What's the website?
The website is www.snydercone.com.
This is Dana Theis with my co-host, Colin Callahan. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.